welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today, I'm in Windsor and linking up with a lady who has graced not only our airwaves, but our television screens for over two decades. From Sky Sports News to one of my favourite radio stations, Smooth. She has a passion for wellness, a kind yet competitive edge as the winner of the games. I'm excited to chat today with Kirsty Gallagher.
How are you?
How are you?
I feel like I want to give you a hug.
Well, I love you. We always see each other and keep in touch, don't we? This is so nice that we've finally made this happen.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
You managed to pick the day where we're catching like the last ray of...
Oh, I know.
Or the start of the winter sun. But I mean, the legs are even out.
You look so gorgeous. I thought, what do I wear today?
You look gorgeous.
A, I knew that you always look amazing. B, the weather is very changeable.
So,
No. It's just really lovely. I mean, we're really lucky. And this area is gorgeous, isn't it?
It is just beautiful. Stunning. Who are we walking with today? Introduce us.
Right, this is one of my two dogs, Frank. My French bulldog, Bertie, was very upset when I left with only this one. He'll probably still be at the front door looking, waiting to come for a walk as well. But I thought it was too chaotic to bring both of them. So this is my rescue. He's about two. He's a Cocker Spaniel, although he may be a Sprocker. And he basically was picked up by Battersea Dog and Cat Home in London. I adopted him. I do a lot of work with Battersea. And obviously, you know, I love my animals. Obsessed by dogs.
Talk to me about the animals, because did I read somewhere that you've got a tortoise as well?
Yes, Theo. Tortoise is called Theo. He's about 10. He's a rescue as well. Oh, I'm just obsessed by animals. I mean, I've always loved animals as a child. Grew up in a very animal-loving family. Always dogs. No cats, actually.
Do you like
hamsters,
cats?
Goldfish. I like cats. I'd love a Persian, a big fluffy
they're
one.
Stunning.
Yeah, I love cats. I don't know. You know when you haven't been brought up with them, you're a bit like, I don't really know what I'd do with it, to how you look after them. One day I'll have one, I'm sure, or 10. But no, just animals are my life. I mean, we really are a very animal sort of loving family. And I'm obviously working a lot now and doing a lot for animals, campaigning and getting involved with different projects and ambassador of a couple of charities. So yeah, it's important, you know, when you've got a platform, you've got to use it, haven't you? Make changes. So I'm loving having the time now, being freelance, to do more with my passions. And one of them is obviously my animals. So
with Frank, he's a rescue.
Yes.
Are you much of a walker, or has having animals given you that excuse to get out?
No, you know what I'm like. I love my fitness. This is just beautiful. I love being out and about. I live in the countryside, not far from here. And I love just rambling and walking. And I'll actually let him off, shall I? Frank, would you like to come off the leash and have a little run?
Yes.
You're going to be a good boy?
You're set free.
He's a good boy. He's not massively disciplined, so we'll see how this goes.
He's currently ahead of the camera. As long as he's in vision.
Yeah.
Frank, good boy.
Strong.
Good boy. His recall's pretty good.
It better be. And so, no, I love walking. I love this. I love just, being out in nature. And...
What's your routine like? Because I know you spend quite a bit of time in the gym.
Yes.
And you have an incredible physique.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Is wellness a big part of that?
Wellness is really, really important to me. Always has been. But I think as you get older, and certainly the research says, you know, women should, and certainly as we go into sort of midlife, we should be looking at sort of strength training, weight training.
I've heard this. My friend
It's so important.
Just sort of turned 40. Mm. She was saying it's like nigh on impossible to build muscle when you reach a certain age.
Well, I think it's to do with the bones as well. It's really important. Listen, I'm not a scientist. I'm not very good at that bit. All I know is I do love weight training. I'm not very good at cardio. I know you love it and you're brilliant.
Cardio is king in
my eyes. I know it should be for me too, but I'm not particularly good at the cardio bit. I kind of get a bit like, oh, I can't be bothered with this. I love this. I love sport. I love fitness.
Frank,
good boy. but the cardio bit seems to be far too much hard work. For some reason, I really enjoy the competitiveness of weight training. There's something about it that's just really got me.
So is it like each time you go in, you're like, can I add an
extra? Can I go higher? Can I get heavier? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And obviously you get a great cardio workout with that.
Because, you actually do?
Yes, of course you do. But I should still probably be doing a little bit more cardio.
Wait, but we're walking.
I know, this is great cardio. But no, fitness is so important. It's so important, not just obviously for your physical health, for your mental health as well. And
how many times a week would you be lifting then?
Twice. Not too many.
Nice.
It's quite busy, it's quite time consuming. Yeah. I do want to get some more cardio in. I know you love paddle, and yeah. I've just got the bug for that. We've got to play.
I would love to play. I'm playing tomorrow, actually. I can't wait.
Yeah. I haven't played for a while, but just because I've been busy with work. So I think that let's do more of that this winter. This winter.
Okay.
Paddle with Kirsty.
Love that.
Let's do it, because lots of my friends love it.
Now, you've spent a large portion of your life in the public eye, from, the very get-go, Sky Sports, to dancing on the likes of BBC Strictly. How have you seen the broadcast landscape change through the last couple of decades for women?
Oh, immensely. It's changed hugely. I think we all know that the breakthrough is in sport, where women's sport and women in sport has really, there has been a breakthrough, literally. I think very much when I started all those years ago at Sky Sports, there were those traditionalists that were very much, first of all, some of them thought there was a bit of nepotism involved because of my father being a sportsman. Little did they really care or know that I was obsessed by sport, always have been and always probably will be, hence why I ended up at Sky Sports. But I think, there were traditionists there who were like, why do I want to hear my football scores read by a woman? Oh, she doesn't play football. It's like, hang on a minute, what are you on about? And so there was a lot of adversity. There was a lot of kind of proving ourselves. I always say, leave no stone unturned. I made sure I was diligent, did my homework, made sure that there was nothing anyone could pick up and go, oh, got her, see? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really savage environment to spend time in. It's intense.
That was the beginning. Yeah. That was the beginning for sure. And then obviously, as we've seen more female sports presenters and women's sport come to the fore, I mean, I'm so thrilled to see how well and how hugely respected now women's sport is. Because really, when I started at Sky, we didn't talk about women's sport. And we were always like, it was odd, but it just wasn't. Do you know what I mean?
It wasn't a thing.
Thing, sadly. And now it is absolutely a thing, and quite rightly. I want to see it go further. I want more, it would be lovely to see more women's sport on television. That's very important for it to be in the media than, talked about. And that's how it all happens, isn't it? That's how the advertising happens, the brands get involved. Yeah, no, so the landscape's hugely changed in that way. And I'm very, very pleased to have been part of that, or in the mix anyway.
Definitely, without a doubt, been a huge part of that. And then with that, life on television, life on the radio, comes that sort of raised public profile, which then means your dating life, your friendships, are in the public eye. Was that tricky for you?
Yeah, I think I was very naive in the beginning. You're in that industry and you go to those events, but you don't really think anything of the interest in you. You don't expect things to be in the press or any interest to be picked up on dating or whatever. It's a funny one. I'm exceedingly private, and it's very hard to read things about yourself that aren't true. If you want to be in this game, you have to be thick-skinned, and that is just it. I found that a real battle, because I think I'm a real sort of empath. I'm somebody who, I am affected by what people say, because I'm not hard-nosed. I'm tough in some ways, but I'm a little softy as well. So, of course, things upset you, and you think, well, what are they talking about? How unfair, or what a lie? And you get people going, really? And I'm like, no. So, but you have to, in this game, be able to just go, do you know what? I know the truth. The important people know the truth. You have to live your life the way you want to live it, and realise that your stories are going to be made up. They're going to look to print something. They might get a picture, and it's just the way it is, isn't it?
And the reality is that picture is always the worst possible picture out of the
awful
100 they've taken when the clicker gun's been down.
Isn't it awful? I mean, I remember once, oh gosh, I was pregnant, newly pregnant with, I think it was Oscar, and I went to the Glamour Awards and I wore a dress. So I was pregnant, little bump, massive boobs, quite big anyway.
Go on, girl.
And I wore this dress. And you know, I kind of, because I don't really like red carpet do's, I really find it really cringe. I'm like, oh, this is so embarrassing. That's not my game. I'm not a model. I never know how to pose. I'm a bit like, oh, this is just, you know, you do it, you enjoy the events. I do love those events, a lot of them.
The little social.
Yeah, and very important, some of them, if they're charitable or whatever. But really, the red carpet, it ain't my thing. Anyway, this particular dress, little did we know, when the old flashes flashed, you could see my boobs and my nipples.
No!
So how was that? Oh, yeah, horrendous.
No!
They only chose that picture. And it was just like, oh, gosh. And luckily, I mean, when you're pregnant, you have slightly more buoyant boobs.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
You're like, hey, at least I look good, right?
Well, I don't know, but I was, you should have seen me the day after. I was reeling. I was so cringed. Oh. It was just one of those things. But that is the way it goes, I'm afraid. So, they always pick the wrong picture. To them, it's the right one.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely. They are nice, aren't they?
Yeah, you know what they're
really,
like.
Really, really, really nice. And obviously, being in the public eye, that's where friendships are also so important. You've got an incredible bond and relationship with Gabby Logan.
Yes.
How important, especially during that period in TV, was it to have solid female friends around you?
We've always supported each other, been a great supporter of mine. We met at Sky Sports all those years ago. I mean, we were talking the other day, we've known each other, and Kenny, obviously, you know, lovely Kenny, Gabby's husband. I mean, we've known each other for like 25 years, which is just really weird. We have a great friendship. We're godparents to each other's children. I think it's very lovely. I think it's very important because you can navigate together this industry a little bit. But I think it's really important to have that support and friendship in an industry like this. So to me, and probably Gabby would say the same, it's been invaluable. Because there are times you need a sounding board, you need to speak to someone who gets it. Like if the press do put something weird in or wrong or upsetting, you can just, she's like my big sister. And we're very, very close. So I'm very, it's really beautiful to have a friendship that you watch evolve in a really lovely way. And we watch the kids grow up and gorgeous.
Friendship is everything. Like through your career, life outside of your career and just having that support network. You spent quite a large portion of your life with your two boys single. That's where friends also are so, so important. How did you navigate that?
I think navigating the whole sort of situation in general is tough, you know, when you're going through whatever, separation, divorce, and you've got children, because it's not just you, is it?
No.
You've got the concerns of your children to think about and their welfare. Oh, yeah, I mean, friends are... Oh, it's just, I've got a really lovely network around me and them, and we're a very close family. That has been so important to have in the last few years, going through a change for the boys. But I'm so proud of the boys. They're amazing. They really are. And I can't believe that. Jude's nearly 15. Oscar's nearly 18. 18-year-old. I'm like,
that's crazy.
Little old me with an 18-year-old looking up at my son. I'm like, what? Watching your children grow, and they're just my world. They're my life. You know, you die for them.
And they've picked up the sporty genes
as
well. I've seen you been playing a bit of golf with the boys.
Yes. Oh, well, Jude is a really good golfer who could, I think my dad would love to see him actually make it as a pro. But he's also big. He's a massive Manchester United fan, obsessed by Marcus Rashford, loves rugby. And then the other one, not so much a golfer, but very talented. He's the athlete, really. He's quite sort of an all-rounder, but he's a very, very good rugby player. So, and they both want to go and do like sport university as well as do a degree. So I'm really hoping that happens. I'm really proud of them. It's just incredible, really, to be honest, when you think about it. And it's a cliche, but it really is. It seems they sort of, in the teenage years, it kind of speeds up. It's really weird. Actually, you're early 30s, aren't you?
Yeah.
30s go quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm literally like, feel like I'm flying through there.
No, it's wonderful. You're so young.
Let's take it back to the dating. Being, you know, in the public eye, do you think it adds like a weight and a complexity when it comes to meeting people.
Completely. I think it's a real burden. I think I'm anybody special, but it's...
No.
If they, I think, know what you do. Look at the horses, beautiful.
Oh, wow.
I absolutely think it's quite difficult for someone to get their head around it. I think initially it might be quite an attractive proposition or thought, yeah. Like, oh, this... And then actually, I think it becomes more difficult, especially when, you know, I have met someone, as you know, in the last year and kept it private for so long. And then they get a picture of the press and they run with it and then that's it. It's not on your terms at all.
It's no longer private.
Yeah.
How have you found that? Because that situation is quite tricky to navigate. Because
yes.
If you've managed to keep something private, yes. And then suddenly it's public, it's like, is the other person okay with that? It's almost
you worry.
Like you have to shelter.
Well, I worried. I did worry. And even though I fully know that we are in it together, he's so gorgeous and supportive, you are a little concerned that they might go, oh, I'm not sure if I really want this. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But he's not stupid. He's been in it a little bit. He's got friends who are in sport and yeah. He's in that world. So,
how did you two meet?
Through Gabby and Kenny.
So that's the dream.
It's so funny, isn't it? Because you know, because I've spoken to you so many times about, it's really difficult, you know, when you've been, especially when you've been in a big relationship, finding, yeah, that next big relationship, I guess. I don't know. I just thought it would never happen. And all I'd love to say to anybody, you included, yes. Amy, it will happen. And you're so young, you've got so much time. But I think I really understand how it is difficult later on in life. Because you're at different stages. You know, at my age, a lot of people might be divorced once, twice, whatever,
yes.
Or separating, and they might sort of have had kids, and that other person might want, you know, not have had kids. There's a lot of kind of moving parts later on. So that's very difficult. And I really think, you know, empathize with a lot and sympathize with a lot of people. But, and yeah, it was really tough, but hopefully.
That is sort of the dream situation, to meet somebody through somebody. And
yeah.
The dating landscape, like the TV one,
yes.
Has changed drastically. Yeah. And you would have experienced both sides of that.
Mm.
The online dating world is cutthroat.
Do you do that?
I have to force myself, Kirsty, to go on there. I absolutely hate it. But I'm wondering if you have any advice for people that are in that tricky phase. Did you do that?
Did I do online? I did go on one app and I really didn't like it and nothing happened. And I was just like...
It's like work. You actually have to...
Do you know what?
It's work.
That's exactly it. It's just a bit cringe, isn't it?
It feels like a job. It seems as though that's the only way to meet someone.
The whole putting your profile up there and which picture and what do you write was enough for me to put me off.
What was your blurb?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so useless at that stuff. It's like, I just can't do it. I find it just all awful. The online thing was not for me, but it works for, I'm so many of my friends are with people they've met on apps.
Really?
Oh my gosh,
so there is,
Amy.
There is hope for my girl gang, because there's
so many people out there that met.
There's like five of us who
really?
Are all, you know, sort of sporty. They've got their stuff together and they've got aspiration. They've got drive. And I think
that's
maybe... Where the problem can be, though, you're going one way, the train tracks maybe aren't going in the same direction.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that there's definitely a place for the app and the online thing.
Yeah.
I also think I would always say, like, my friends who are kind of like banging their heads against a brick wall going, oh, I just can't meet anyone, you're so lucky. I'm like, well, I waited long enough. I would say, actually, though, I always remember thinking, I've got to go out to different areas and different
yeah.
places and meet different people.
Because you do end up just going to the same zone.
Sort of. Exactly. And it's like, oh, nothing's changing here.
Yeah.
So I would always say, or what I always tried, and, you know, go out, yeah, see different friends as well.
Yeah.
Do different things.
Yes,
try that.
That's great advice. And
is it? I think it is. Well, listen, you might not meet the one that you're with forever, but you might meet someone you'll have a few... really nice dates with, you'll spend some nice time with.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, and it's growth, and you learn then what you're really looking for.
Oh my gosh, a cat. That's hilarious.
Oh yeah,
jokes. It's amazing.
We've just walked past a man with a backpack and a cat, for those just tuning into the audio. Cat going yeah, for a walk.
Frank's, on someone's back.
Frank's not remotely bothered.
No, Frank, luckily he didn't. I don't think he knew it was a cat. Although,
otherwise there could have been a disaster.
Oh, he couldn't get. He's too placid, actually, this dog. Have faith in meeting someone one day. I nearly lost faith, and I'm very grateful that I met my bloke. And I think, but I do think it is, it gets more difficult later on. I also think, I love the idea of matchmaking as well. Oh, a lot of my friends have been connected by other friends, and I think that's always quite fun.
Okay, so Kirsty, have you got any friends?
Well, listen.
My friends.
I will absolutely.
You need to do some digging of the old phone book. Yeah,
I'll be, I will do that.
Get the phone book. I will do that. But during that phase of time, when you were single, how did you find sort of peace with being on your own? Were you okay with it?
Good question. Very good question. When I got divorced, when I separated, and obviously the kids would spend time with their father and me, I was horrendous, horrendously lonely, not in a good place, very sad, because it was completely different. And I actually don't really love being on my own. I like being surrounded by fun and noise. And
yeah.
I like my peace now, and I've grown to like that and enjoy it, probably purely because I'm so busy, so yeah. Juxtaposed, you know, to the mania sometimes of like the house, and it's quite nice to have just a minute to kind of breathe. But really in the beginning, it was very hard to get used to no kids around or, you know, just a different sort of situation. So I was always pining to meet someone, wanting to have someone around.
Yeah. Do you think busyness can or was a mask for you?
Yeah, probably. Always busy, always. I went out a lot. I kind of like just kind of, which I think there's no bad thing in that.
But I think going out's good.
You know, going out as in like just in the day, in the evening, I would keep busy, all right. But I have absolutely got better at being on my own. And actually, ironically, before I met my boyfriend, I think I was at that point of being quite good on my own. So it's funny how life works, isn't it? I sort of was just getting to that good, kind of calm place on my own, not bad with my own company, and then I was in a relationship. So it's really not. Listen, that's the way life is, isn't it?
I suppose there's an element of that is, at that point where you're comfortable and no longer looking, you are at peace with
Absolutely.
Yourself, which makes you then more attractive.
Yes, at ease.
But
yes,
what do you think it was that allowed you to find that place of comfort? Was there a moment?
As you get older and you learn and you go through difficult times, very difficult times for whatever reason, and things are thrown at you, I think you have to bounce back and you have to get back to some sort of happy, balanced place. And what I've really done is I've worked very hard on getting to that place over the years, and getting to that place where you're happy in your job, you're being strong and decisive about, like, no, I don't enjoy this, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
Not just doing stuff for the
sake
of it.
For the sake of it, yeah.
So I think I've got myself back to that place of kind of good balance, healthy, balanced kind of Kirsty, not manic. I mean, that's one of the reasons I left Sky Sports, was I just was like, I've been here a long time, I love it, but it's just too much. Being a single parent, I've been here, I feel like I need a new start, fresh start, and it really, as sad as it was, and sad decision for me to make, it was absolutely the right thing to do. I mean, then we went into COVID, of course, but what can you do? But it's been an interesting journey the last 10 years. I'm definitely in the last year, not just meeting someone, I think I got myself into that better place of being able to definitely sort of embark on a new relationship. And you're right, I think until you get to that place, you're not open to it.
Yeah.
I do believe in energy, and
energy is everything.
Sort of an element of spirituality.
Yeah.
I do. I think unless you're kind of in that place, you will not meet that person.
Yeah, you won't attract it.
No, you don't. You don't put the right signals out.
There's a real place of power in the ability to say no.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, yes.
And
exactly.
I think so often in life, we can fill the gaps and allow no space for creative freedom, which could be having a bit of a lie-in one day, not being so disciplined. But you need to allow those moments within the busyness to thrive rather than just literally surviving, because that's when the magic can happen.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, I think I didn't have time to do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And take life in. I think you've got to look at what's right for you. But I think there was a point, certainly in my past, where I was sort of working like a mad woman, quite manic, dealing with stuff, kids, this, that, got the prep, you know, it's just too
much. It's a lot.
Yeah.
On the sensors as well.
Yeah, it's not healthy.
Sensory overload.
It's not healthy. So really, it's got to be about, I do think balance is a good way of describing what we should be looking for. And
how would you describe balance? Because everybody has a different analogy on it.
Balance to me, well, my mum's a dietitian. We grew up sort of hearing that sort of to do with food, everything in moderation.
Yeah.
Everything in moderation. And it's almost that sort of feeling of just a little bit of that, a little bit of that, just to get that nice equilibrium.
Yeah.
Because you know what it's like. If you get too, say you're really excited about something and you're really happy about something and you're like, you know it will shift and you have to go down, you will come down from that.
Yeah.
And it's about not going too high, not going too low, but you kind of stay there.
Yeah, that's
so important for me, because I can get too much going on, really excited, just a bit kind of frenzied, and then it's like,
there's such
exhausted.
An art to finding that balance though, because especially with what you do, with what I do, the highs can be so high.
Yeah.
Sometimes you really need that quiet day, but if you've had 3 days up here of doing something so incredible,
you know what it's like from and then sport.
Then you're suddenly like, okay, what next? You're scratching your head.
Yeah.
It is a constant juggle.
It is. So I think it's sort of trying to find that middle ground where you're not overdoing it, you're not overexerting yourself, you're just kind of being a bit more, I guess it's like mindfulness a bit. Sounds really cliched as well.
Yeah, no,
but it's
it is.
That mindful, right, why am I doing this? Is this the right decision? No, it's not. You know what? It's not. I'm giving too much of myself, or it's not the right project. It can be to do with work. It can be to do with just every day. It can be to do with relationships.
Yeah, emotionally.
Everything.
Yeah.
So I've learned a lot over the last few years on that front to just go, okay, I feel, and that does absolutely go back to things like your question earlier, what were you like on your own? Did you ever get, because it's that sort of, now I feel all right. I'm like quite content.
Yeah.
Whereas before I was always looking for the next thing to do, or, and you sort of start to think within you all the time. You're looking in, worrying about things. And I'm just not really like that anymore. I'm just a bit more kind of
content.
Content, I think.
Is that the word?
I think that's the word. It's rather nice. I haven't felt that for a while.
I mean, like walking here right now, I feel very content.
I know. And I could lie down there in the sun.
I actually could. Beautiful. I want to strip. I'm so hot. Get the kit off.
Why am I wearing this?
I know. Suddenly, I mean, it was cold this morning.
I know.
But we are in the UK. Talking about the balance, you did Strictly a while ago.
Yeah, I did.
2015.
Yeah. How frightening. Still gives me palpitations. It's so good, though.
How was that?
Oh, do you know, I did it at the wrong time. I was right in the midst of all my post-divorce dealing with the changes, not an easy time. But I just thought, well, I would love to experience this. I was very grateful to be asked. I was paired with Brendan Cole, who's a really good mate of mine. He was like, he's like my big brother. Aww. He knew how tough it was going to be for me, mentally and physically, and he was incredible. I knew I wouldn't do brilliantly. I knew I wasn't in that place. I was better at all the lifts and stuff because I think I'm sporty. But the actual dance.
Chuck me in the air.
Chuck
I'm
me
ready.
In the air.
Ready
Don't
to
put
go.
Me on the ground because I can't dance. I loved it. I really, really loved it. Everyone was gorgeous. I really, really, obviously Katia was amazing, and you're so close to Katia. And I really loved it. I enjoyed it. I was proud of being in for about 6 weeks. I think it was Halloween aptly. That
sounds solid. But given the opportunity, now you're in a better place. Let's use that word, contentment.
Yes.
Do you think you'd approach something like that differently?
Completely.
Or would you not even want to do it?
Do you know what? I'd absolutely grab it with both hands.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Whereas it was one little finger.
Oh, really?
Not grabbing it. Oh, yeah, no, in the way that I was asked to do it, I was very honoured to be asked. And I was like, I'm not going to be very good. I would now be like, oh my gosh, what a great opportunity. Yes, come on.
Wow.
Yes, I would.
So interesting though.
Isn't it? Isn't it interesting? So how many years? That's 9 years ago. Yeah. I mean, listen, so excited to watch the series because it's such a brilliant show. Yeah, I would have loved to have done it all over again. But that's life.
Maybe,
isn't it?
Maybe. We were scheming with Gabby that there's a Legends Tour reunion.
Let's do it. That would be brilliant.
Get the old squad
come
back
on.
Out.
Yeah, after all those years.
Now, you've had a career fairly sport dominant, so to speak, at the start.
Come on.
You grew up in a sporting family.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you reckon if it hadn't have been that way, you would have followed a different path? I know you've got a passion for your fashion,
animals. Oh, I love my animals. Well, I was at London College of Fashion. It all by accident occurred that I went to Sky Sports and, oh, very long story, but basically love fashion as well. I love art. I did history of art and art at school, art A-level, history of art. I wanted to be a fashion journalist. I was really fascinated in changing fashion trends, kind of evolving, how it works, forecasting, fashion. I was just really fascinated. Oh, I'd love to write for Vogue. Wouldn't that be nice?
No way.
High aspiration. No, I'm joking.
Manifestations. Though.
I know. Listen, it's never too late. Manifesting is a very big thing for me.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
But I went down another path. But you know what? I was sort of, now, I think now is the point where I am absolutely wanting to kind of do my passion projects.
Yeah.
It was part of why I decided to leave and not do a sort of 9-to-5 job at one place.
Yeah.
I wanted to obviously do the radio, which, because I'm a real radio head, so obviously I love Smooth.
I love Smooth.
Obsessed by it anyway. It's like a dream.
You literally have in the car every single day. I had it on
so
the way
good.
In. Yeah.
Oh, I just love it. When I do my show, I'm like, am I in charge here? Am I really doing this? This is amazing.
So is that like a dream?
Yes. I love Smooth. I love radio. I grew up listening to the radio. We always had the radio on. My mum and dad always had the radio on. It's just wonderful. And it's, I love the fact that I've been able to experience a different type of media.
Yeah.
From a TV world, now into the radio world. I'm really loving that. I love challenges. You know what I'm like. And like you, it's that great way of kind of, right, okay, it's not going to be easy, but
yeah,
let's get stuck in and see how we go. And I love it.
And also, it's quite different because doing sport and linear broadcast to talking music, you know, radio and travel news, you're
exactly
juggling a multitude of incoming strands, right?
Yeah, yeah. It took a while to get used to.
I wouldn't know where to start with the music thing, like the DJ part.
Well, I mean, you know, that's
few
that's,
buttons.
That's difficult. I think you just have to get your head down and learn how it works and ask lots of questions. And I went in and watched and listened, you know, for a long time. I'm only still a newbie. I've only been in radio for a couple of years, but I'm really loving it. I'm enjoying it. And I'm enjoying this kind of place of being able to now almost live out my passions and to get stuck into some campaigning for animals and animal welfare and use my position and my voice to see some changes, hopefully, even if I see a couple of changes for the welfare of animals when I pass away, I will be very happy. I really will, because you can't change everything, can't do it all. But if I can make some changes and some of these sort of things I'm involved with, these campaigns, if they can happen and be successful, I'll be very happy.
What changes would you like to see?
Oh, a lot. I mean,
okay, give me three.
For me, it's the welfare of animals, always. It's the treatment of animals.
Yep.
I'm not telling you to stop eating meat. I'm talking about if we're going to, you know, factory farming, for example. You know, there's a lot of discrepancies there. There's a lot of issues without going into it. No one wants to know that. A lot of people don't know that animals aren't treated very well in certain farms. And then they buy the meat and they trust in what they're buying and it's not transparent. And so I would like people to know more. I think things need to change. But also just on the kind of like domestic pets, puppy farming, That's just horrendous.
It's disgusting.
Dog rescue homes are overflowing. We need to rescue. Don't buy, try and rescue if you can. I know you're an advocate of that. I know that most people are. There are lots of things.
We're talking about an endless list, but
yes,
you are
sadly, yes.
At a point and position in your life with the platform you've got where you can go and start to, it's just even raising awareness.
Yeah, raising awareness.
Because people don't know.
No.
I didn't know about puppy farms. Yeah. I've just learned that right here, right now. Yeah. So that's my takeaway.
Well, puppy farms are horrendous places. It's just out of control, the illegal things that are happening there. And we just need to get a hold on that. And then obviously a lot of people bought and buy pets and have animals, but can't afford to feed them. And obviously it's very hard.
It's really sad. I completely get that.
It's very sad. And a lot of people got dogs in COVID and then just can't have them now because they're back in the office. And so for whatever reason, it's not always their fault. People can't always keep their pets. So these rescue homes are just overflowing. Oh, yeah. Frank, you've got
Frank
friends.
Is in his
yeah,
element.
Good boy. But I mean, listen, you know, what could be more wonderful than rescuing an animal that needs your help? And
it's a beautiful thing.
It's just a beautiful thing. And we need to do it. And the love they give you. I often think he knows that we gave him a second chance.
Yeah.
It's nice to be in the place where you're able to fulfill your passions. And I think that's the point I am in professionally in my life. You know, I'm loving my radio, loving looking at new projects, and there's some really exciting things happening. I love my animal welfare campaigning and getting stuck into trying to help where I can and use my voice. But also, I don't know, I quite like the idea of sort of going back to my roots and maybe dabbling in the fashion.
No way.
Oh, well, maybe, yeah. So there are a couple of things going on. But
yeah, there's a little bit of bubbling going.
Well,
I'm feeling the bubble.
But it's so nice. It sometimes I feel like Sky Sports and that life I had, which was so amazing, obviously, for that period, it was like another life.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how we can, as human beings, have lots of almost lives.
It's surreal, isn't it?
It's not all the same. Lots of evolving and changing and journeys. It's wonderful, isn't it? Do you agree with me? For you, surely, as a sportsman.
Yeah, no, without doubt. So look, we're in lanes, right?
Yeah.
Right now. And so many people, I think, fall into a lane.
Yep.
And they think that's their space. Yep. That's where they should stay. And there's no way of escaping.
Yeah.
That. But quite quickly,
yep.
I could just take
yeah,
the risk.
Absolutely. So
and stand in the middle.
So could I. Or I might go into your lane.
Yeah. Or you just tiptoe on the edge, you know? And I
it's
think.
So true.
Why not?
But relationships are the same.
Yeah. We must try different lanes, Kirsty.
Well, we must try different lanes, try different things. But you just, you know, it's not always, your journey isn't always with that person.
No.
You change, you evolve, you go through things, you become a different person. The other person might not change like you are.
Yeah.
But life is bizarre, isn't it? But you're absolutely right. Why stay in your own, why stay in that one lane? Why
something? That's boring. It's fun to try things. And I think if it doesn't work out, it just doesn't matter.
No.
Don't be defined.
No, don't be
by
defined.
It, whatever it may be.
Yep. Yeah.
Look at us here putting the world right.
I mean, we're very all-knowing, aren't we, today? I don't know what's going on.
We are on the Monday Mile podcast.
Yes.
We like to ask all of our guests what their relationship is like with Monday. Do you like a Monday?
Yes, I love a Monday.
Yeah?
Yes.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, I know, you like it. I know. I really like a fresh week.
Yeah.
I love all that kind of, I'm quite a sort of tidy person anyway. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So I like the idea of, right, start a new week. And what have we got in store? And let's make this a good one. And da, da, da. But also I work over a weekend. So I don't get that dread like a lot of people. Hamster wheel. I don't have that. And I've created my life to be different now so that I don't have that feeling of the same and going through the motions. So I really enjoy my Mondays. I could be working, might not be, might be bumbling around the house because it's been hectic and kids. And I quite enjoy Monday. I just think there's something quite refreshing about it. And
your week sounds ever fluid, changing landscape.
Always changing. But I love it.
It can be hard though, sometimes. Sometimes I love it. But then, you know, when it's so rapidly changing.
Well, also, you can look back at a week and say, I didn't actually have a day off.
Yeah.
Because some weeks you say yes to lots of things or lots of things happen. You go, oh, I know I did a half day there, but actually I've worked 6.5 days. That's all right though, because I don't mind that. I like that, you know. And
we say no sometimes now.
Yeah, I know. I'm not very good at saying no, are you?
I'm getting better. Oh. I definitely am, but I'm more of a yes person. Do you want to go and do this? Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
I know. I don't like saying no and letting people down.
There's guilt there then.
Isn't that terrible?
But lastly, Kirsty, because we're nearing the end of the walk.
Oh, and that's been lovely.
I think you might have a school run to do.
I do. I have to pick Jude up.
The hamster wheel continues.
It continues.
Do you have any life mottos or quotes that you live by that you can share with their listeners?
Oh, I know.
To help them get up and be inspired at the start of the week?
Well, I think that as you get older, you realise that you must do what makes you happy.
Yes.
Every day. So if you aren't enjoying your job, I know it's hard, or, you know, whatever you regularly do, make a change. I love change, though. I embrace change. Try and embrace change. It's so amazing. You learn so much. And like you said earlier about kind of taking that risk, you might not think of it, but it's such a good idea, you know.
Yeah.
So refreshing to try something new and try something else. But for me, I think at this point in my life, apart from balance, which we've talked about a lot, it's kind of doing what I feel I want to do, I feel is right.
Yeah.
How am I going to grow and learn more?
I mean, there's quite a lot in there.
Is there?
Yeah.
Spend time with people you really love and
that's
really
important.
Respect. And
that's important.
You learn and grow from. I really love it. Oh, look. Gorgeous doggy.
This is like, you know, the dog walking.
It is dog heaven, walking isn't central.
I know. Yeah. Hi.
It's really good, don't you think, to always, when you spend time with people, you always are, you can take something from them. No, it sounds really bad, like greedy. I don't mean it like, I mean like sort of, they inspire you.
Yeah, be inspired.
There we are.
And yes. Be excited to be around them.
And have fun.
Yeah!
Have fun in life, because there's my biggest thing I say to my children, and it is quite funny, and you can ask anyone this, if they go, God, you're a bit mad, Mum. You're a bit mad. I'll go, it's better than being boring.
It's
and they
so
go, that's
true.
So true. Ask my children, what is my motto? They will say, better than being boring. I would rather have a fun life than a boring life. And I think that is where we end this.
Here's no to being boring.
Yeah.
Monday Mar listeners, you know what to do. Do make sure you are subscribed to the audio. It drops every single Monday morning at 12 a.m. for you early risers, Kirsty. It has been an absolute pleasure walking with you here in this incredible space. Monday Mar listeners, have an absolutely wicked week.